two places, Jeremiah 29, page 945 in this Bible. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And then in Luke 10, verse 30. And Jesus replying said, a certain man descended from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who also having stripped him and inflicted wounds and went away, leaving him in a half-dead state. And a certain priest happened to go down that way, and seeing him passed on the opposite side, and in like manner also a Levite, being at the spot, came and looked at him, and passed on the opposite side. But a certain Samaritan journeying came to him, and seeing him was moved with compassion, came up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, having put him on his own beast, took him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow as he left, taking out 2 denarii, he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt expend more, I will render to thee on my coming back. I was in my local on Thursday, my local reading, and I asked for the people there to pray, because I don't have much tonight, and you'll have to just bear with me, forgive me. What I've got is really simple to say. It doesn't feel like it's enough, and I've walked along the beach praying about it and been troubled, and I've got 3 daughters, and I asked them, I've got to speak at Ignite in the Gospel. Any thoughts? 3 daughters, 1 drives, 1's too young. I won't name names because it's awkward for them. But the one that doesn't drive wants a car. And she said to me, Dad, if you bought me a car, and when I go to pay you for it, I just said, actually, it's all paid for. The cost is covered. It's yours. She said, that's a bit like the Gospel, isn't it? And it is a bit like the Gospel. But I'm not going to talk about cars. I'm not going to talk about journeys. Journeys are boring, aren't they, when you're young? They just go on and on and on and on. Are we nearly there yet, Dad? I was on the M20 recently, and I was in a 3-hour queue. Everything just stopped. I normally gloat, because I always sort of seem to miss traffic in life, and always the other side of the motorway that's jammed up. And yet this time I was caught 3 hours solid, not moving. So long a queue, and so boring, that there was some German lorry drivers in the queue with us, and they produced a football, and we actually had a game of football on the fast lane. Obviously, England won. That's just normal. But so journeys are boring. Car journeys particularly can be boring. I get when you're young, you want to drive. It's exciting, it's fun. But I'm not here to talk about car journeys. I'd like to talk about the journey of life. I remember as a little chap singing, the journey of life may be easy, may be hard. There'll be danger on the way. And then there was an atrocious chorus that I didn't like, which I won't... They're lovely words, but I just didn't like the tune. But the journey of life, I don't know what you think about it. I don't know what stage you're on that journey. But we're all on it. Every one of us in this room, whether you're young, whether you're like me and you're old, we're on that journey. And I read these verses in Jeremiah, or this verse, for I know the thoughts. Other versions say, I know the plan that I have for you. I just want to talk to the young people. You might have plans in your life. Plans for a university, plans for a job, plans for marriage, plans for life. Make sure your plan includes God. Make sure that what you're doing in your life, with your body and with your time, whatever you do in your life, in your leisure or your pleasure time, make sure you can pray about it. I just want to pass that on, because I've done things that I've wanted to do and I thought I'm going to do them, but I couldn't pray about them. And it got me into all sorts of trouble. So remember that. Can I bring God into this? Can I pray about it? Can I ask? Because he's the one, he knows the thoughts, he knows the plans he has for you in your life and mine. The journey of life, he knows exactly what plan he has for you. And the simple thing is just to ask him and to bring him in. We read about a journey, a man on a journey in Luke 10. And I think we're all like this if we're honest, aren't we? We're all on this journey, and this man, it says that he fell. He fell into the hands of robbers. You remember Adam and Eve being made upright and perfect in the garden. And we talk about the fall of man. We speak of saying we've fallen short of the glory of God. And if we're honest, we're all like this, aren't we? We've fallen. We're down. And we're low. As sinners, that's where we are. And this man fell into the hands of robbers. And you get this priest and you get the Levite. I know what a priest is. As for a Levite, I'm going to struggle. So I'm not going to sort of say what I think I know about a Levite. I'll leave that to you to work out later. But if there's anyone here that's been stumbled by someone who should know better, I'm sorry. Really sorry. There's a young person here that perhaps has been to a church or a meeting like this and has been damaged by it, by someone looking at you from a distance, looking down their nose at you. Somebody not speaking to you. Somebody making you feel like you're so bad and it's your fault. Pointed the finger at you. I just want to say I'm sorry. Because, do you know, Christianity is the greatest love story that's ever been written. It's not a pointing finger. It's a father's love. It's a warm embrace from a father that loves you and a father that's given his son. That's what Christianity is. That's what a church should be. And that's what we, as Christians, if you are one, should also be. We're not here to look down, we're not here to accuse, because the truth is, we're all on this journey, and we've all been in that half-dead state. And the world does that, doesn't it? It takes, it removes. Jesus came, didn't he? He came and he loved and he gave everything that he had. You'll find, friend, that this old world, as much as you love it, it'll take and it will take and it will rob you. Rob you of your time, rob you of your energy, rob you of your youth, rob you and take and take. So there's these two men that come and see this injured person lying in a half-dead state, and then a certain Samaritan journeying came to him. Jesus was on a journey. You could say he came from Bethlehem. I think we need to go back further than that. He came from the glory. Came from heaven, came to this earth, and he walked this earth. Think of his journey. Think of his life. Think of what he accomplished. Think of him moved with compassion. Think of the love. Think of how men were just kind of like, wow. They wondered at the words that came from his mouth. They wondered at who this person was. Somebody asked me the other day to describe somebody in three words. I don't know whether you've been asked to do that. I was thinking about what Isaiah says in chapter 9. And his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, and Prince of Peace. He couldn't stop at three. How could we limit the perfection and the beauty of Jesus to three words? We couldn't. And that was him. Everything he did, everything he said, persons he's met, he loved, he was kind, he was compassionate, he gave everything that he had. And he was on this journey. Where was he going? He was going to a garden. And he went to a garden because that's where he often went. He went to that garden so that persons there that he knew would look for him, would find him. And Jesus does that, you know. He's in a place where you can find him. He's close to you now. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, he's real. And he's close to you. And he loves you. You see, he put this man, he bound up his wounds, he poured in oil and wine, he put him on his own beast and he took him to the inn. And he says, take care of him. Whatsoever thou shalt expend more, I will render to thee on my coming back. You see, he was going somewhere. He was on a journey. For someone to come back must mean that they're going somewhere. And he went to the garden called Gethsemane. And persons came, a big long line of soldiers, they came. Did he hide like men in the garden? Adam and Eve, did he hide like them? No. He went to the place where men would find him. And there he was ready for them. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. My Saviour, the one that loves you. There he was. He was on a journey. And he went to a garden. And he was taken from that garden. And he was led. And we all know the story well, don't we? He was put on a cross. There were three crosses. I often think of Barabbas. Barabbas thought one of those crosses was for him. And maybe he fought, maybe he was pulling on the chains. Maybe when they came to release him, to let him go, maybe he swore at them. I don't want to go beyond scripture. I got spoken to last time about going beyond scripture. I'm a photographer and I kind of think of images and things like that, and that would make a nice photo. And I'm sorry, I do read into scriptures and maybe I shouldn't. I will be careful. But I can just sort of see that image of a grumpy, arrogant, vile robber. Barabbas, fighting, hurting, straining at the chains, wanting to be released, wanting to run, wanting to be freed, maybe looking up at that cross, knowing one of those was for him. And maybe, just maybe, and this is just me, it's not from scripture, but maybe someone said, Barabbas, stop. Look up there. Someone's taken your place. And that, friend, is what I want to do to you tonight, is just to point you to the cross and tell you that someone's taken your place. Because whatever you've done on your journey, however low you've got, however many things, many sins you've committed, however much wrong you've done, someone's taken your place. Isaiah 53, what does it say? He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did regard him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Someone took your place. Friend, you can't deny that. Someone has done that. He took your place on the cross, and he bore in his body your sins and mine, and he exhausted the judgment of God against those sins. That's it, friend, that's the gospel. I want to point you to Jesus tonight. I wish I could bring him in this room, but I can only point you to heaven, because that's where he is. You see, he was on a journey, and it was that journey took him to a garden, and it took him to the cross. And is that it? I've never ever seen a painting of Jesus that I like, really. There's always something that doesn't quite satisfy. This time of year we'll see lots of scenes of the Nativity, as they call it. And Jesus is always there, isn't he, in the manger. And the cows and sheep and all are all around. He's always there in the manger. When you come to the cross, when they draw pictures of him on the cross, sometimes it's angry, sometimes there's dark clouds, and so it was. Sometimes there's bright light shining. But they never really satisfy. But he's always there. When you come to the picture of the tomb, it's pretty well usually empty. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Friend, he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the manger. He's no longer in the tomb. Yes, he was buried. We had a touch of that today already. But he's risen. Isn't that wonderful? Our Saviour, Jesus. All he's been through. All he suffered. On that cross, nailed there. Crown of thorns. We thought of it this morning, didn't we? Think of what he's given us. Think of the armour. Think of the protection. Think of the love, yet you think of him in contrast. Nothing, no clothes. Was there a helmet for his head? Nothing. A crown of thorns that hurt him, and then they beat him. Was there anything? Gloves for his hands? No, they put nails through them. What about his face? They plucked the hairs from his face, and they spat at him, and they punched him, and they bruised him, and they hurt him. And he took it all for you. He took your place on that cross, friend. Oh, would you love him? Would you give your heart to him? He deserves your heart. He deserves your love. He deserves your life. On that journey of life, friend, there's Jesus beside you, wanting you, knocking on the door, appealing to you, asking to come in. He's there beside you, friend, if you did but know it. He's so close. And he just wants you just to reach out in faith. I was watching, I've got three daughters and one son. I was watching them on the high ropes yesterday. And my son, in lots of ways, is like me. And he's not good with heights. But he's a lot braver than me because he actually did go up the top. And I could see him trembling. And I get that, because I wouldn't have even gone up the ladder. But I then watched one of my daughters, and I heard what her friend said to her. Words to the effect of, Lois, it's okay, just rely on the rope that's holding you. Lois couldn't see that, she could just see the massive drop. She could just see what she was trying to cling on to. It's a bit like the gospel, you know. We look around, don't we, and we need things. We cling on to things down here. And it just doesn't seem enough. It seems too scary. We might have a little verse of the Bible, but it just, is it quite right? Is it enough? And we just fumble around and we tremble and we panic. Friends, there's someone above. That's holding you. There's someone above who's got you safe. And he just wants you to trust him. Just to let go of everything here and trust him. Faith, we decided yesterday. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all. I trust him. That's all we have to do. and he's yours, and you are his. That's simple. But oh, we complicate it. We tremble, we panic, we look for things. We see everything else around us and below us, and we need more. But no, just let go. Just put your hand in the hand of the one who gave his life for you and shed his precious blood to cleanse you from every sin or all sin. What a saviour. And yes, he went onto the cross, he went into the grave, but he's risen, he's ascended, and he's glorified, and he's up there, and he's coming back. Whatsoever thou shalt expend more, I will render to thee on my coming back. Coming back, are you ready? Are you ready for him? Are you going to stand for him? If you love him, you're going to stand for him. I was really worried because I didn't have any stories tonight. And I was talking to somebody, some will know him, Andrew Bodman. He said, I remember a story you told years ago. And thank you. It's just what I needed. And it was a story. I was at college and I kind of had a little, I don't know what you'd call it. I thought, I'm going to really commit myself to the Lord. I'm going to just talk to everybody I meet, because we had a good gospel on Sunday night, and I thought, I really want to tell everybody, and I started and just kind of hit this wall and didn't go well. And one week I was in London, Elephant and Castle, a lovely place, and I used to pass this man who had a board. He used to stand there like a sort of for sale board you see outside a house, and used to have this board, and it had a verse of scripture on the top. Used to see him every week, and in the winter months he was standing there, and I could see that his hands were cold, he was shaking. He just stood there, and people laughed, people joked, people jeered. And I kind of thought, do you know what, I'm going to give him a cup of coffee. And I thought, wow, aren't I great? In fact, I'll buy him a Mars bar as well, because I'm such a good Christian. And I handed these two things to him, and he didn't take them. And I kind of looked at him, and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And he said, young man, for me to eat the Mars bar and to drink the coffee, somebody's got to hold the board. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to hold the board? Are we ready to stand up for Jesus in a world that hates him and hates Christians? Friend, his love is so great, he's worth standing for. He's worth crowning Lord of all in your life. In whatever simple way you can, hold the board for Jesus. He's so wonderful. That's what Isaiah says, he's wonderful. I hope you've proved that. I hope you've found Jesus to be wonderful. You know, there's so many boring things in life, aren't there? There's the mortgage, there's this, the car loan, there's bills. Does Christianity to you seem like another sort of brown envelope that comes through the door that you just kind of think, oh, I really don't need this. Another thing in life. Friend, it's a relationship. It is. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's a power inside you called the Holy Spirit that's given to you when you believe. Friend, I just ask you to reach out now. Don't delay, don't put him off. God has a plan for you in your life. On that journey of life, we were talking about animals yesterday in heaven, weren't we? I've thought of another story, and then I will stop. Oh, I've got to read my poem. Yes, animals in heaven. And you see, the Lord's coming back. And he's going to take those that have put their faith and their trust in himself and in his finished work at Calvary. He's going to take those people to be with him. That's wonderful. The story about the animals was a farmer and his son, and the boy was holding the collie dog in front of the Aga one evening, just saying, "Oh, Dad, won't there be animals in heaven?" And the father just kind of, "Oh, it's a difficult one." And then said, "But son, all the sheep will be safe. They'll be with the shepherd. So we won't need the dog in heaven." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is coming back. And is he going to take you? Have you put your hand in his hand? Have you felt the nail-pierced hand of the Saviour that died for you? Is your hand in his tonight? He won't let you go. He won't let you down until you're safe with him in glory. That's a wonderful and a precious promise of his. Believe him. Let go. Trust him. Hold his hand. I just ask you to do that. If I've muddled anyone, and I trust I haven't, I found this, and I've written it in a book years and years ago, and I kept forgetting to bring the book to. About 13 times I've preached in various places, and so I wrote it out. And I just hope this puts the gospel, it does put the gospel in a far better way than I've sort of stumbled around tonight trying to put it. These are the words. Is love's old sweet story too good to be true? Do you find all this hard to believe? Has the cruel world we live in so battered your heart that the hurt child inside you can't grieve? Oh, I can't say I blame you. I've been where you are. But all I can say is it's true. You're wanted. You're precious. You're the love of his heart. And the old rugged cross is for you. For his name's sake.
Amen.